welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today we want to talk a little bit about, does God work against our belief? That's an interesting question. It gets into the more esoteric side of the Calvinism-Arminian debate. You know, there's a viewpoint, does God actively make some people evil while he actively makes some people good? And so there's a lot of these interesting debates, and I don't want to get into the whole depths of this, predestination, double predestination, things like that. What I want to get to is, really, I was reading and completing the book of Acts this last week, and I was just kind of flipping through, and just for whatever reason, the end of the book of Acts caught my attention in a way it had never caught my attention before. And you know that, you probably all have that experience when you're reading something in scripture and something catches your attention. You've read it 100 times, but something catches your attention. And so I wanted to talk about this last part, the last section of Acts, and how does this interact with belief and the gospel and things like this, because it's a very fascinating discussion, something that we should all take the time to think about from time to time, as it pulls into a portion which is quoted again and again in Scripture from Isaiah. So, of course, Paul is in the end of Acts. Paul finally arrives in Rome. He appealed to Caesar because the Jews were going against him. And he's like, you know, God says, hey, you have to appeal before Caesar. So it's like, hey, this is a great way. Hey, I appealed my case to Caesar. There you go. If only it were that easy to get into like the Supreme Court or something to rule against all this nonsense we have going on these days. I don't know. Not that the current situation would solve it. But anyway. So Paul is there, and the first thing he does, now, the first thing Paul ever did anytime he gets to a new city, he always goes to the Jews first. This is an important thing, because Christianity is a salvation for all, but salvation is first for the Jews and then to the Gentile. And Paul seems to carry that forward as he would go in, and he would always go and preach to the Jews first. So he goes in to the leaders of the Jews, and he's like, hey, I'm here because the Jews in Jerusalem kept on speaking against me. And they're like, yeah, we never heard of you. We never heard anything about it. But we hear about this crazy way you're talking about, so we're curious about it. So in Acts 28, 17 through 20, it says, after 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. And when they came together, he began saying to them, brethren, though I did nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner out of Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And they had examined me, and they were willing to release me because there was no ground for putting me to death. But when the Jews objected, I was forced to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any accusation against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I requested to see you, to speak with you, for I am wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel. And so what we see here is that Paul goes first to the leaders of the Jews and says, hey, I'm here and I would like to talk about, you know, what is going on. So the Jews actually want to hear his message. In Acts 21 and 22, it says, they said to him, we have neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have we had any of the brethren come here and reported or spoken anything bad about you. Now that's good. You know, with the Apostle Paul, no news is probably good news, right? But it goes on, verse 22. But we desire to hear from you what your views are for concerning the sect, for it is known to us that it is spoken against everywhere. So they know this sect, this is Christianity they're talking about, is spoken against everywhere. And they're like, hey, we kind of want to hear your beliefs. And so, of course, this is the Apostle Paul. Asking the Apostle Paul if he'd like to share the gospel is kind of like asking a lion if he's hungry. I mean, of course Paul's going to share his beliefs. What do you expect Paul the Apostle to do? So he shared his beliefs, and some of the Jews believed and some of them did not. The same exact situation he gets everywhere. So in Acts 28, 23 through 25, when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. And some were being persuaded by these things spoken, but others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving Paul after he had spoken, parting one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to your fathers. Okay, so What's going on here? He preaches the sound gospel. Some people believe it, some people don't. And that really is the question. Is it really up to the human being, the man who hears the gospel? Is it up to them to hear and accept the gospel? Or is there something more, something beyond, something else that is potentially controlling this? And so, of course, as a Calvinist, or as we like to modernly say, you know, doctrines of grace, because frankly, Calvinism is so negatively slanted for literally no reason at all. Most people who preach against it are truly Calvinists, if you understand what the real definition is. But I am unabashed in saying that because it does align perfectly with the scripture. And hey, why not throw some provocation into it? That's oftentimes what Jesus would do, right? And so... as we're talking about this and we're looking at this, the question becomes, you know, asking a Calvinist who'd like to debate Calvinism is kind of like asking a lion if he's hungry, of course. But this is what Paul says to the people as they begin departing, which is in Acts 28, 26, and 29. Go to this people, say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull. Their ears scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. And we had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among them. Now, that quotation there is quoted from Isaiah 6:10. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. And this is interesting because you see in this an active closing of the heart. Now, do I believe in double predestination, what you call double predestination? God works to actively keep some people not saved and some people saved? Absolutely not. That is not what Calvinism teaches in any way, shape, or form. What it teaches is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are destined for hell. All of us need no intervention from God in order to become damned to hell. All of us, without exception, without possibility, we are all destined for hell. It's just that in Calvinism, some people have their hearts transformed to recognize truth, and with a heart transformed, are then able to choose the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the idea of choosing to follow God is in Calvinism. The point is, though, is that nobody can do that until their heart is first transformed. And the scripture speaks to that, but that's not really what our message is about. But Jesus also quotes from this section in Matthew 13:13-17. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. For in their case, the prophet Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, hearing you will not hear. This one here is difficult because the actual sword module for the NASB messed up the text. I've never actually went in and fixed it, and it interspersed a bunch of verses and context in here that's incorrect. Basically, he quotes the same section from Isaiah, and it says in here, it is literally like, I wish I could show you the screen. It's all ugly. In this one verse, it's one of the few places where it's messed up. I should really fix it. If only I knew a tech geek, right? It says, for the heart of this people has come dull, with their ears they scarcely hear. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see their eyes, ear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and what you hear and did not hear it. Now, there are some people might argue some form of slight double predestination from that section. But the point being is that, by and large, people in that the natural man's mind, their eyes are closed over. They don't want to see the truth. They don't want to listen. Just look at what happened this week with Greta Thunberg. She takes a group of selfie Instagram influencers / activists over, and they're like, we're going to float our boat into Gaza and deliver our aid. And they literally had like a day and a half's worth of aid for like five people is the amount of aid. It was all a publicity stunt. The reality is if that motley crew with all of their pride crap and ideology landed on the Gaza shore, they would have been decapitated. So by the grace of God, Greta Thunberg and her company were intercepted by the Israelite army who fed them, bring them back. And what do? We're going to show you what Hamas did to us. And they're like, no, and they did that. They will not see the atrocities that the Hamas did to them. They will not look at it. They will refuse to see it. And this is how we are to the gospel of Christ. Of course, in ultimate humility, if you hadn't heard about the case, they humiliated her the best. Of course, she released this video like, I was kidnapped. We were kidnapped by them. And so they did the best thing ever. They let her go literally that day after she refused to watch the atrocities of Hamas. But then in the ultimate humility, they put her on coach class on an airplane to Paris. Oh, yeah. First time that lady's been on a plane because of climate change. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. But that's how we are to the gospel. We will not see. We will have truth presented. We close our eyes. We'll have the truth proclaimed. We will plug our ears. We will have no understanding of the gospel. And so we will perish. It is only by the intervention of God that we are able to succeed. Okay, so why is it that we dumb ourselves down? I have a couple notes written down here. The first is we will tend to reject anything that goes contrary to the first thing that we were told. Unless we really open our minds and really see this. And I've had this transformation. I know many people have had, but it's not particularly common where you break down the entire presupposition your whole life is built on. And you start examining it. And this is why, as I mentioned in a video a couple weeks ago, this is why the LGBTQ movement is trying to intercept the school districts and teach the children all of this transgender nonsense early on. Because if they're taught this when they're 4 and 5 and 6 years old, even in the face of absolute biology, when they get to high school biology and they learn that males are X and Y chromosomes, they learn what a genotype and a phenotype is, they will have a very hard time questioning the absolute truth because the first thing they've been told has been a lie. And that's the problem with people. We are born and raised and nurtured in a world of sin. And because of this, we have a very hard time seeing a life and a truth that is not sin. Secondly, we have indeed dulled our conscience. As younger kids, we might naturally steal, we might naturally lie, but as far as those really big moral sins, we have a deep inclination to not want to seriously hurt somebody. We have a deep inclination when it comes to like just any form of deep level of sin. Even kids when they first, if a crazy kid, when they first go to steal something, I write about this in my book in Half My Life, as a little first grader, I see the little micro machine on the edge of the yard and I got to pretend I'm tying my shoe to take this little cool thing. Ooh, and I make sure no one's looking, because even though I didn't have to be taught how to do that sinful act, I still knew there was a shame attached to it. But when we have dulled our conscience, it becomes harder and harder and harder for us to accept the gospel because our conscience has been dulled. And then finally, many people are simply not interested in thinking. We're not interested in examining the truth. We have our own presupposition and we rarely want to challenge the presuppositions if they are presented to us. And this happens in every world. In the Linux world right now, there's this debate over X versus Wayland. There are crazy rabid people. But it mirrors truth. It's a weird thing. It mirrors truth. Wayland is tied in with this LGBT community. It's insane. And it's like, if you like Wayland, use Wayland. If you like X, use X. No big deal. Okay. Whatever else. But, the other side, it's gotta be Wayland. We gotta actively kill X. Stop using it. Oh my God, we gotta get it out. It's like, what are you guys doing? It's irrational. It's crazy. It's psychopathic. Okay. But that's kind of where we sit ourselves in the realm when we see and hear about the true gospel. We openly reject it and we shouldn't. That's kind of a problem. So hopefully you got something good out of this weird, rambling, diverting mess. Greta and Linux and God, Okay, we would have tied those three things together. But anyway, we'll wrap it up here before we tie in something else weird and obscure. Thanks for watching. Have a look at the website, ourwalkinchrist.com/support, if you want to help learn how you can support the channel. Thanks for watching, and hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.